Every year, between 15 and 20 million people visit the shrine of Hussein. Hussein is the martyred grandson of the Prophet Muhammad and is the spiritual leader, or imam, for hundreds of millions of Shia Muslims.
We will use the name of Imam Hussein as our guiding light.
We have to accept the apology of the other, because no one among us, among a human being, is a perfect. All of us do mistake. All of us, we have to ask forgiveness, and Allah forgive. So what about a human being?
Many people live their life based on fear, whereas we can live a life of passion, a life with zeal, with fervor, with a joy.
It's time for Progressive Spirit. Stay with us. Progressive Spirit is produced every week. It couldn't happen without the financial support of my congregation, Southminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverton, Oregon. Southminster's website is www.southmin.org. Progressive Spirit is produced in the studios of KBOO in Portland, Oregon, for the Pacifica Radio Network, and PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, as well as podcast. Show KBOO some love, won't you? KBOO.fm, and click donate. For the Pacifica Radio Network and the Public Radio Exchange, and from the studios of KBOO in Portland, Oregon, this is Progressive Spirit. ProgressiveSpirit.net. I'm John Shine. This episode is part two on Hussein Day. Hear the podcast of part one on ProgressiveSpirit.net. I was one of several guest speakers for Hussein Day on April 28th that was sponsored by the Husseinia Society of Seattle. Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, is a central figure in Shia Islam. The various speakers spoke about Hussein as well as the great pilgrimage, Arba'in, a pilgrimage of devotion to Hussein. As I mentioned during the first episode, I plan on attending the pilgrimage this fall, inshallah. The pilgrimage is about 50 miles over 3 days from Najaf to Karbala, Iraq. Arba'in is the largest human gathering in the world, but it's not well known. Most people, when I talk about it, have never even heard of it. In the first episode, we heard from Dr. John Andrew Morrow.
We refuse to remain quiet in the face of injustice, for tumult and oppression are worse than slaughter. Give us liberty or give us death. Death before dishonor. Stand on the right hand of history. Side with the poor, the meek, the downtrodden, the discriminated, the persecuted, and the oppressed. Stand for the truth, no matter the cost.
And we heard from Sister Nicole Carreri.
I want to say that my personal experience was profound. To see the love, the loyalty, the commitment, the devotion, and the sacrifice. You can go on this walk from the city of Najaf, which is a holy city for us as well, because Imam Ali is buried there, and there's a long history for the Shia there, to Karbala. You walk, takes about 3 days. People come from even further as well. But in that walk, you don't have to pay for a thing. You will be sheltered. You will be fed. You will be given medical services. You will be given religious support and guidance. You will be given feet massages. You will be given bread. You'll be given dates. You'll be given tissues. You'll be given attar or perfume so that you are beautiful when you arrive at the gates of the city of Karbala, where the shrine of Imam Hussein is and the shrine of his half-brother Abbas is. It's the most amazing experience.
In this episode, you'll hear more about Hussein and how he is, for those who are devoted to him, a door to truth and justice, and how his sacrifice revealed the true Islam, the Islam of love. I have no formal training in Islam. In fact, I'm ignorant about Islam, as are most non-Muslim Americans. At 40%, Muslims have the lowest approval rating of any demographic. 60% of Americans don't know a Muslim. 98.8% of movies show Muslims negatively. There's no better time than the present to change that. If you are not a Muslim, Ramadan is a great opportunity to get to know your Muslim neighbor. Consider fasting for a day or two. In this episode, you'll hear a speech that I gave at the event, as well as speeches from Sheikh Fadel Al-Salani.
But without his sacrifice, we will not see the real Islam on this earth. Without his sacrifice, the real Islam will be the Islam of Daesh, of Taliban, of whatever.
Sheikh Ahmed Barini.
Hussein means beauty. Can it be that we become a follower of beauty and not become beautiful?
Maulana Mohammed Beg.
Hussein is life. The closest thing you'll ever find to a utopia is Arba'in, where everyone just comes together, forgets all differences, and is just lost in love, drowned in the love that Hussein has given to all of us.
In these speeches, I hope you will hear, as I did, the depth of spirit and the commitment to social justice in these presenters as they reflect on what their spiritual leader, Imam Hussein, means to them. We begin with a few words from our MC, a high school student, Ali Ahmad, about the work of the Hussein Society of Seattle.
Hussein Society is an interfaith organization that aims beyond rituals and implementations of Imam Hussein's message of love and peace, justice, and bearing the true message of Islam. Husseinia envisions becoming a melting place where people can come together and share and discuss ideas. They can become involved with the broader community. They can work on issues that they're passionate about. Recognizing that we all belong to one human race is the integral part of Husseinia's vision and affirmatively addresses the issues on social justice. So we start off by saying here are a goal of projects we would like to have. We would like to have a drug and substance abuse workshop, stress and anger management, a homeless project where we get to eat with homeless and we get to hear about their stories as well as like their life experiences, a free health clinic, immigration 101, which is pretty much knowing your rights as an American, cultural fair, and a festival. We also would like to do a few interfaith projects as well. Ramadan, which is coming up soon, so we have Ramadan Iftar. We also have Who is Muhammad? We have a symposium on science and religion, and another conference on Who is Hussein. Now, we have a lot of important youth activities as well. For youth, the most amazing feature about the Husseinia Youth Club is actually that we're organized, we're operated, and managed completely, entirely by the youth. So we have an area of interest where we want to focus on a few things that are crucial for your kids, or if you're kids yourselves, then your high school life, such as high school survival, money management, stereotyping, violence, career planning, college planning, driving, harassment, depression. These are all things that not everybody, but everybody will go through at least a few of these things at one point in their childhood, in their years. I would like to invite our next speaker, which is Pastor John Shuck. John Shuck is a minister in the Presbyterian Church since his ordination in 1992. He has served in congregations in Lowville, New York, Billings, Montana, and Elizabethton, Tennessee. He is currently a pastor of Southminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverton, Oregon. He is a graduate of Princeton Theological Seminary. John has been involved in the work of the Wester Institute and is a signatory of Clergy Letter Project. He has been active in the Palestinian Justice Movement, Interfaith Dialogue, and is a member of the Religious Leaders for 9/11 Truth. He hosts a syndicated radio show called Progressive Spirit and a monthly show on KBOO called Beloved Community. Both programs focus on the intersection of spirituality and social justice. Please welcome Pastor John Shuck.
Assalamu alaikum. I bring you greetings on behalf of the congregation I serve, Southminster Presbyterian Church in Beaverton, a suburb of Portland. And on behalf of the Presbytery of the Cascades, a little over 100 congregations on the western Oregon coast, as on behalf of the Presbyterian Church of the United States of America, peace be with you. I have to be completely honest with you. Before I was asked to speak here tonight, I knew very little about Imam Hussein. It is strange that matters of faith that are so intimate to one person can be so foreign to another. We live in our own silos. Well, I'll speak for myself. I do. And that's why interfaith work is so important, because matters of faith are matters of heart. They are intimate. And as we share our faith, we share our heart with one another. And we cannot help but grow closer together when we do that. So my wish is that the Hussein Society of Greater Seattle will be a place of deep enrichment and sharing for Muslims and for Christians and for all people, wherever they are on their path. And I particularly resonate with the mission statement of the Hussein Society of Greater Seattle. The mission of Husseinia is to build an interfaith community which goes beyond the rituals. Husseinia is a place where people come together to share and discuss ideas, become involved with the broader community, and work on things they're passionate about. We share who we are, celebrate our diversity, not to convert or convince, but in realization of our common humanity. I'm definitely on board with that, with you. And what I am learning about Hussein is that his message, his words, and his deeds is a message for all humanity. In the New Testament, the word that is translated as witness is the same word translated as martyr. Martus in Greek can be both witness and martyr. And it's one thing to bear witness to what is true and just, to say, I am for justice and truth, I bear witness to that. It's another to put your body and your life at risk for justice and truth. And on the other hand, it's also one thing to give your life to just go die for something, for a cause, but it's quite another to know what the cause is and whether or not that cause is ultimately true and just and life-giving and according to the will of God. Not everyone is called to die. Where and when we die is beyond our calculations. However, we all are called to seek justice and truth. And as we do that with heart, with love, with strength of mind and body, then we are on the path that was the same path taken by Imam Hussein. I believe it was a path also taken by Jesus, and in modern times, a path taken by Gandhi, who much admired Hussein, and by Martin Luther King Jr. I think it's the path taken right now at this very moment as we speak in Gaza, as thousands of nonviolent, peaceful demonstrators walk to the prison fence in the Great March of Return. They march knowing that they could be injured or killed by Israeli bullets, 45 dead so far as of today, as of the last I read, 1,500 wounded by live ammunition. It's the path taken right now as we speak in Yemen. Just read today from Yemen Extra, crowds are rushing to Al-Sabaeen Square in the capital to attend the funeral for President Salah al-Samad, who was assassinated by a Saudi-led coalition airstrikes on Thursday, April 19th. The people are raising flags in the Republic of Yemen, pictures of the assassinated president and banners that read slogans against U.S. policy in the region, calling to confront the Saudi-led coalition. My presentation was asked to say something about the pilgrimage, Arba'in, the world's most populous pilgrimage. As Nicole, Sister Nicole said, 20 million people. That's six Seattles and a Portland. Not just the city limits, the whole deal. 20 million people, and making it, of course, the largest annual human gathering. Now, Sister Nicole has been there. How many others have been on this pilgrimage? A few? Well, you'll tell me what this is all about and talk with Sister Nicole afterward. This is incredible. And many, many of them walk as far as, what, 400 kilometers? You mentioned you walked. That was about 50 miles, I think, 50 kilometers that you walked. Fed along the way, places for rest, Wi-Fi, all of that. The pilgrimage, what is it about? I'm not sure, but as I'm discovering it, it honors the unity of guest and host. We are one. Who attends? Well, Shia Muslims for sure, but that's not all. Also Sunni Muslims, as well as Zoroastrians, Yazidis, Christians. Hussein, not just for a people of a particular religion or culture, but for all humanity. His message is a message for everyone. And as a Christian, his message is for me. Anyone who suffers persecution or oppression is my sister and my brother. It's my duty, it's my privilege to stand with to march with, to share my heart, mind, soul, and strength with all of those who are victims of injustice. And so those who go on this pilgrims go for a variety of reasons connected with their particular lives, but they go because they're drawn by the message, the life, and the spirit of Imam Hussein. He exemplifies what it means to be a human being who sincerely, with a full heart, follows God's will. Hussein did not go on this journey because he was spoiling for a fight. He did not go to fight an enemy or to take over or for his own ego or for prestige. He went to answer a call for help, to restore the faith of his grandfather, and was ambushed along the way. But he didn't flinch from his fate. He stood up to tyranny with justice and truth. And because of that, he lives. For me, I see the parallel between Hussein and the historical person of Jesus. That's my Christian connection. I see them as brothers, as models, as examples of what it means to live life fully. You live life fully when you're willing to let it go for the noble values of truth and justice and of love and for your neighbor. There's a foundational principle in my own church's constitution. It's called Truth is in Order to Goodness. It was written in the 18th century. It goes like this. Truth is in order to goodness, the great touchstone of truth, its tendency to promote holiness according to our Savior's rule, by their fruits you shall know them, and that no opinion can be more pernicious or more absurd than that which brings truth and falsehood upon a level and represents it as of no consequence what a person's opinions are. On the contrary, we're persuaded that there is an inseparable connection between faith and practice, truth and duty. Otherwise, it would be of no consequence either to discover truth or embrace it. We are in a time that is not unlike the time of Imam Hussein. His time was a time of corruption, a time of falsehood. And we live in a time in which truth and falsehood has been brought upon a level. Those who have wrested power and influence driven by greed control the news. Putting truth and falseness on a level is called spin, but it's actually lying. Truth is the first casualty of war, and the powerful, including elements within this country and others, have sold us lies. Every day, we're told things that are not true. We're manipulated and told that the Muslim is the Christian's enemy. We American Christians are told lies about the history of Islam and the contents of the Quran. We are told lies about the people of Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Afghanistan, Syria, Yemen. Why? We're told lies about people who live in those countries because of what lies in the ground beneath those countries, at least in part. There are many reasons why the powerful lie and scheme. And it's not enough to read the New York Times or the Seattle Times to get the truth. We must dig deeper. We must find our common humanity. We must meet people where they are and as they are. I started out by saying that I didn't know, before I did a little bit of research, anything about Hussein. And that's shameful on my part. I'm a religious leader, for crying out loud. But this is common for Christians, and I mean in particular American Christians. We know hardly anything about Islam or about Muslims, except what's fed to us through the media. And it is that lack of knowledge, that lack of connection, that allows the powerful to divide us and to fill our television screens and our computer screens and our movie screens with falsehoods. And I think this event tonight is just the thing that we need to begin to dismantle the injustice that is in control of our world. The reason 20 million people go on pilgrimage for Arba'in is because of the truth that's revealed in the interaction between and among the people from all over the world. I see people, when we meet with people and talk with people, for who they are, not with what the spin says they are. Our lives connect and we see people for the generous people and the hopeful people and the good people we really are. The Quran does not give us impossible commands. It commands us to submit to God, to submit to truth, to justice, to goodness. And we can do that, but we must choose to do that. And every day we make that choice. We can make the choice Imam Hussein made and that all of his family made. And when we do that, and as we do that, we put chinks in the armor of injustice and greed. I believe in what we're doing here tonight, and I believe in you. And I don't deserve to be here, but I'm honored to be here with you to celebrate the life of this incredible spiritual leader. And I believe that there is hope that we all can be one. May it be so.
Our next speaker that I would like to invite, Hujjatul Islam Sheikh Ahmad Bahraini. He is a graduate of Qom Seminary. He has completed the highest level of courses in Islamic philosophy, Islamic religious jurisprudence, principles, and mysticisms. He also has extensive studies in Arabic and Quran literature, Quran interpretation, Islamic economy, and history of Islam. He was also a professor at Beheshti University, Iran, where he had about 3,000 students. Please welcome Sheikh Ahmad Bahraini.
Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, I am very honored to meet you during these holy days. I would like to thank those who have invited me for this magnificent program. This program is in the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Some view Imam Hussein as the highest magnitude of love toward Allah, toward God. Some view him as a symbol of freedom. Some view him as a symbol of justice and fairness. Some view him as a guide to translation and understanding of Quran. Some view him as a resurrector of religion. I say shall more about him. He is the only Imam that on his day of birth, his father, mother, and grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and family cried for him. He is the only Imam who became a martyr in the middle of a war zone. He is the only Imam that in his lifetime, became the father of two martyrs, Ali Akbar and Ali Asghar. He is the only Imam whose holy shrine has been destroyed more than 10 times by the oppressors, so that there will be no signs of him. But his shrine is still upraised. He is the only Imam whose body has been buried without being washed and wrapped in white cloth. He is the only Imam whose head has been separated from his body. He is the only Imam who became a martyr with a thirsty mouth and thousands of wounds from spears and swords and stones within his body. He is the only Imam whose family became slave after his martyr. He is the only Imam whose birthday is on a month that has no martyrdom and death, is on a month that holds no birthday from any of the Ma'sumin. He is the only Imam where dua made under his shrine will be accepted. He is the only Imam that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will cry for twice in a day and night. He is the only Imam that the speed and extent of being a savior is greater than other Imams. He is the only Imam that has one of door of heaven named after him, known as Babul Hussein in the Jannah. Hussein is the most beautiful name written in mankind's birth certificate. Hussein is the interpretation of Bi'sat, translation of Nubuwwat, and definition of Imamat. Hussein means beauty. Can it be that we become a follower of beauty and not become beautiful? Ashura is a scene that shows all the goods and bad all mankind. Ashura is the biggest and most important university of human studies of goods and bads of the universe. Ashura is a convention of those who fought for upholding Islam. The tragedy of Ashura, the incident of Ashura, broke the history and became the most memorable event of time. Karbala is the deepest wound that is sitting on body of earth and is the loudest scream that is heard in the history. Such a pity that instead of his ideology, we were shown his wounds and were told that his biggest pain was absence of water. He was the thirsty for truth. He was the thirsty somebody. They didn't provide the real religion. They hijacked the Islam. Somebody used the Islam or religion for them desires. Look to the Daesh, ISIS, Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Wahhabiyat, look to them. Anton Bara, a Christian researcher and writer, has said that Hussein, until the end of war, is the conscience of religions. He wanted to awaken all the drowned and sinned conscious and freed them from all sins. William Luntis refers to Imam Hussein alayhi salam martyrdom as the heaviest martyrdom in human history. With such sad tragedy, he claimed Hussein as the victorious one. We will use the name of Imam Hussein as our guiding light. Allahumma lakal hamd, hamda shakirina laka ala musabihim, alhamdulillahi ala azim raziyati, Allahumma arzuqni shafa'at al-Husayn, yawm al-wurud, wa thabbit li qadam al-sidqin indika ma'al Husayn, wa ashab al-Husayn, الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
This is Progressive Spirit, progressivespirit.net. You're listening to a series of speeches focusing on Shia Islam's spiritual leader, Imam Hussein. Sheikh Ahmed Barini and Mohammed Beg are next with more reflections about Imam Hussein and the great pilgrimage taken each year to his shrine in Karbala, Iraq. I'm John Shuck. Don't go away. You're listening to the podcast version of Progressive Spirit. If you enjoy the show, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podomatic, TuneIn, or whatever podcast app you use to listen and give Progressive Spirit 5 stars, won't you? Contact me through progressivespirit.net with your thoughts and ideas about the show, and be sure to share this podcast on your social media. Follow on Facebook and Twitter. The website, again, is progressivespirit.net. You're listening to Progressive Spirit. The website is progressivespirit.net. Go there for the links to websites about the speakers and the Husseinia Society of Seattle, the host of the Hussein Day Conference. I'm John Shuck.
Our next speaker is Sheikh Fadl al-Sahlani. Sheikh Fadl al-Sahlani is one of the most senior Shia Muslim clerics in North America, and is the representative of Grand Marja Ayatollah Ali al-Hussein al-Sistani in the region. He attended advanced religious studies and completed graduation in Quliyat al-Fiqh over the holy city of Najaf. He also has a master's degree in Islamic studies from Cairo University. He was born in Iraq, but left the country in 1979 due to his life being threatened by that of Saddam Hussein. He eventually immigrated to the United States, where he is currently the director of Imam Al-Khoui Foundation in New York. He is a well-recognized speaker and a highly respected scholar. He has spoken at conferences, interfaith and religious events. Please welcome Sheikh Fadl al-Sahlani.
It's very hard to know from where to start talking about Imam Hussein Salamullahi Alayhi, especially in such nice, beautiful occasion, in such beautiful month, the month of Sha'ban. We celebrate the birth of 3 Imams, Imam Al-Hussein Salamullahi Alayhi and Al-Imam Zainul Abidin Salamullahi Alayhi, and Hadrat Abul Fadl al-Abbas and al-Imam Sahib al-Zaman Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala. So Mubarak for all of us this happy occasion, and Mubarak for Husseiniyya to start their activities with such beautiful, nice program. May Allah help you all, and may Allah guide you to the right path. May Allah continue His blessing upon all of you. As I say, talking about Imam Hussein, it's really very hard, especially we have very limited time. His mission, what is his mission? Why he stand against Yazid? The main point of the revolution of Imam Hussein, the main point is al-islah. And al-islah has two meanings in Arabic. One of them is the reconciliation. If there is two people have differences among themselves, so to reconciliation between both of them, to try to bring them together, this is one way or one meaning of al-islah. And the other meaning is the reform the ummah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa islahul ummah. About the islah in the first meaning, that if there is a differences between two, that we can reconcilate among themselves. One advice to reconcilate is the advice of al-Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullahi alayhi, whom we celebrate his birth these days. What he say? He say, if somebody come and talk bad about you in your right ear, and if he come to the left ear and he ask for apology, accept his apology. This is one way to islah between the
people. We have to accept the apology of the other, because no one among us, among a human being, is a perfect. All of us do mistake. All of us, we have to ask forgiveness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiveness, and Allah forgive. So what about a human being? Now, according to some of our fuqaha, our ulama, our scholar, he said, if you have one son and he act badly, he is not good, his behavior is bad, how much time, how much energy you have to spend to correct the direction of your son? Is it easy or is it difficult? Difficult. And if you succeed, and your neighbor heard about that, and you told, the neighbor came to you, told you, look, my son also, he has a bad behavior. Come take care for him. Will you have more to spend, time, energy, or the same? More. The other neighbor also heard about it. Now you have 100 students, 100 bad guys. You want to reform them. Reform them. You want to do islah for them. Is it easy? It is hard. It is very difficult. Try it. It's very difficult. Imam Hussein, salamullahi alayhi, what he say? أريد الإصلاح في أمة جدي. I want the reform for all my grandfather nation. And his grandfather nation, that means all Muslims. And if the all Muslims really reform and have the islah, then the whole world will be reform. And that is exactly what happened. Even Imam Hussein salamullahi alayhi lost his life in the battlefield, but without his sacrifice, we will not see the real Islam on this earth. Without his sacrifice, the real Islam will be the Islam of Daesh, of Taliban, of whatever. Even with his sacrifice, still people are doing something wrong in the name of al-Islam. So this is why he is the only one who have this description.
Our last and final presentation for tonight is from Maulana Mirza Muhammad Ali Beg. He studied for 4 years in the Hawza in New York, and he graduated from Hawza in Qom, Iran. He is now the chancellor of Imam Ali Seminary in LA, California. Please welcome Maulana Muhammad Ali Beg.
I am privileged and honored to be here in this gathering of such notable people, such distinguished personalities that have come here for such a noble cause and for such a great divinely inspired message. And this is truly a blessing for me to be here, and I am humbled to speak about Imam Hussein. Truly, as much as we want to say whatever we want to say, this ocean can never be fulfilled. But I will just say a few things regarding my own testimony of Imam Hussein, if you allow me, in a few words, so that I can just give my own testimony, that others who are here and who have been given what I have been given by Imam Hussein can testify to that, and that they can amen me when I am saying this and say in their own life that yes, that's who Imam Hussein is. Let me just say it, my friends, that God created us in order that we find happiness. God gave us life in order that we rejoice in that life. When a person wants anything in life, before anything, he wants happiness. Before he seeks God, he seeks happiness. Before he practices religion, he seeks happiness. Before he intends to do anything in life, he seeks happiness. Happiness is the primary objective of us that God has put in our nature and said, you are created to find happiness and to find that joy and to find that true pleasure of God's presence in your life. This is what we've all been through. And when we are in search of that happiness, and when we are all seeking that happiness and joy, we see a different ways that we in our life live. Many people live their life based on fear. Fear of not knowing, fear of losing, fear of not gaining. It's all based on fear. And when life is based on fear, it becomes a life that truly is not achieved. It's not fulfilled. Whereas we can live a life of passion, a life with zeal, with fervor, with a joy. We have that ability to do that, the potential to live our life like that, a life of joy. Right? We can just look at that. Most people don't live that. They live a life of fear, always trying to just protect themselves. You know, I'm doing this, why? Because I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be harmed, as opposed to just saying that, you know what, I want to adventure. I want to go out. I want to live my life. I want to have enthusiasm in me that I want to live my life to the fullest. To truly rejoice in this life that God has given me. I want to do that. And this is what happens to many people. And it's not that we haven't done it. If you look back into a earlier time in your life, when you were kids, when you were children, you will see, did you live your life out of fear or did you live it with passion? Your own life is a testimony. When you were a child, you weren't thinking, you know, I need to get insurance before I go to the camp. You weren't thinking that. You weren't saying that, hey, listen, you know, I need to make sure that everything's okay before I do this. No, you used to jump. You used to just go and dive into so many things out of that sense of adventure, sense of exploration, a passion to live. You were doing that. What changed you? What changed you? People call it wisdom. I'm wiser now. But that is a lame excuse for not living our life to the fullest, for a life of fulfilling reality. That's truly, it is a lame excuse. And this is why, when we want to live a life that is full, we need to find that life. My friends, I just want to answer one question here that, you know, our guest John has raised, and I think that many people here have in their mind, you know, 20 million people going to Imam Hussein. And you know what? I need to apologize also for all the guests who are not Shias here or followers of Ahlul Bayt here, for the lack of true representation of who Imam Hussein is. All right, this is on us. That truly, that when I look at how Imam Hussein is represented and spoken of by people, even on websites and how they say it, it is so incompetent of who actually Imam Hussein is. What does he mean for us? Why do 20 million of us just go there? And every one of us just want to go back every time.
Everything we have, we want to spend to make sure that we go there. Why are we doing that? My friends, here's the reason why. In order for a person to live a life of joy and happiness, he needs to cross that threshold. The threshold of living his life in fear and getting out of that and trying to, and truly living his life with passion. What Imam Hussein has done to us is that as soon as he has touched us and came into our life, we stopped fearing. We stopped fearing. And now there is this life that we gained through his presence in our life that has given us a life greater than the life that we had been living. And that is that pleasure, that joy that we get whenever we take the name of Hussein. Whenever Hussein comes into our house, in our life, this is a joy that we get, a life that we get that we didn't have before. And this life is what makes, this is what makes us go to Hussein again and again, because whenever we go there, we are looking for that greater life, for that beautiful life, for that joy that comes into us. It changes us. God wanted everyone to taste this life, to have the pleasure of living that life, to have that pleasure. Hussein enthuses that passion in us. He gives us that life that we didn't have, that we were living, and he brings into us a sense of surreal greatness that cannot be experienced in this life without that love. It is his love that has brought us to that. My friends, this walk that people make, this sacrifice that people make, is not an obligation. It is not something that we do because we have to. It is a true love that we felt in our heart that pulls us, that just bounds us and says, you know what, I can't even think of not doing this. I can't even imagine that I'm not going to do this. Oh, I'm going to do this, and I don't care what's going to happen to me, because every step that I take is going to be a pleasure that I'm going to just imagine and live with and enjoy for the rest of the days that I will live on this earth. This is that joy that we want. And I really, this is who Hussein is for us. He is life for us. He is not just life, he's a greater life for us. And all of you, when you are touched by him, truly this is what he is for us. And I want you all to just look at that in yourself. And I'm talking to the Shias here, so that you can tell that, yes, this is who Hussein is for me. Why do you spend yourself for Hussein? Is it an obligation? Right? Is it because the Prophet said so? Is that why? Look at yourself and answer that. My friends, my testimony is that Hussein has given me life. Hussein has given me life. A life that is so pleasurable. A life that is so sweet. A life that is so fulfilling. That I can't trade this. I can't even imagine exchanging this for anything else. Someone who's touched with the love of Hussein, he doesn't need anything else. He is fulfilled. And it's that fulfillment of life that God wanted from us. Hussein is the door for that. Hussein is the door for that, and we felt it. And everyone who has felt it, they know it. And it, now we can't go against it because it is so pleasurable. That's the way it is. Hussein is life. Right? That's why when you go for the walk, and if you haven't gone for the walk, I encourage you to go for the walk in Arba'een, and you see how Hussein has created an utopia, a utopia. The only utopia, anything, the closest thing you'll ever find to a utopia is Arba'een. where everyone just comes together, forgets all differences, and is just lost in love, drowned in the love that Hussein has given to all of us. Isn't that the case? Those who have been there know that, and they feel it. And I want you to share it. Say it out loud. Say that this is what it is. And I want you all to come there and see that. Be my guest. You know, you pay for the ticket, though. But I think that Husseini, this organization, right, they want to sponsor people to go there, right? They want to sponsor people to go there so that they can feel that emotion. They can be a part of us, right? One of the missions that they have. So it is a pleasure having all of you guests over here. I really thank every one of you for being here, for the guests that I've met, you know, Pastor John, you know, an amazing speech that you gave, truly touching and moving, and we really thank you for that. And we also have Pastor Scott here. You have Pastor Scott here? Why don't you rise up? Yeah, get over there. There you go. Your Pastor Scott is here also. He's local. He's local. He came here, and really, you know, you all have a chance. Please go to him and, you know, introduce yourself. Talk. This is what these gatherings are for. You know, let us go out there and do that. That utopia we feel in Arba'in can be felt here also. I thank you. God bless you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
This concludes our Hussein Day conference. As a lot of the speakers have stated earlier, everyone here is welcome on our journey of love. I personally myself have been twice, and one of those two times I was able to walk, mashallah, on this magnificent 3-day walk, and I will say that although your feet are covered in blisters afterwards, there is no single-handed event that I could say has impacted me more in my life. Thank you.
You've been listening to Progressive Spirit, progressivespirit.net. You just heard the second part of a 2-part presentation on Imam Hussein, the 7th century spiritual leader and martyr who defines Islam for hundreds of millions of people. I hope you have a joyous Ramadan. Progressive Spirit is heard every week. On Progressive Spirit, you hear interviews with cutting-edge scholars, authors, and activists who have something to say about social justice, human flourishing, and things that matter. Progressive Spirit is formatted for radio and is distributed every week through the Pacifica Radio Network and PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Progressive Spirit is perfect for public radio, community radio, and college radio stations. You can download Progressive Spirit for free on your favorite podcast app. The website is progressivespirit.net. Follow also on Facebook and Twitter. Progressive Spirit is produced in the studios of KBOO in Portland, Oregon. I'm John Schuck. Be well.